Everybody, welcome to the Edge Portal. Going to be an interesting show tonight, as usual when these two guys get together. So, welcome to the show, Larry Augusto.
Thank you. Enjoyed being here.
Yes, it's good to be in this show tonight, Dorothy. I thought we needed to do a show because so many things are happening right now at such a quick pace. That I thought, you know, we needed to do a show with Larry, and then in the second hour we'll have Daniel Holdings coming on. But there are so many things happening now, Larry, that I don't even know where to begin. But the reports are coming in fast and furious about objects people are seeing in the sky, in the western, southwestern skies. And there's other kind of sightings of meteors and asteroids now all over the world. The buzz has gotten even louder in the Puerto Rico situation. It's gotten now to the point where there are confirmations coming from inside the government there. Wow. That they are expecting major events in the next several months. The word they're using is cataclysmic events. So, I mean, it is just buzzing right now. I felt I needed to do this program because the people of God, you know, sent me emails and asked me questions, and it's just virtually impossible for me to answer each and every email and every petition that people ask me questions and things. So we also did a program in Spanish that we sent out to the Spanish-speaking constituency. We sent it to Central South America. We sent it to Miami because I felt it was so important to do that. And I did the program with Conciencia Radio with Alex Backman. We may do others in Spanish and maybe an English one. But the ones in Spanish, the people are really needing to hear it. I had received a lot of requests from people, you know, about a show in Spanish regarding this same topic. And so if you're one of those and you did not get the email with that update, it's already posted on our website. Just go to the our website, theappearance.com, and in the Spanish section, it's posted there. It's posted there is a YouTube video in Spanish, and there is a an MP3 download also in Spanish. But Larry, would you? Is there what's going on with that situation that, you know, and I've talked to you about it on the western sky that you mentioned you had seen it and even photographed it. Has that thing been appearing lately?
Yes, absolutely. And the timing is a little bit different at times. I'm getting reports from, matter of fact, that's what's interesting that you brought that up. I really got hit hard with the naysayers and such, the mockers and, you know, scoffers. And I mean, even one individual wrote me that I must have the intelligence of a gnat, you know, to believe that was anything other than Venus. And I thought, you know, if I have the intelligence of a gnat, I far exceed yours, I mean, on that issue, because that's not a planet and that is not a star. That's something else.
That's right.
And matter of fact, I posted today, I don't know if you got it, Augusto, on the group, Dorothy may have seen it too, YouTube from Wayne Warmick. He's in Arkansas. He's a minister there. And identifying this thing in the western sky, southwestern sky, that is just incredibly unique and is anything other than just a normal planet or a star like we're used to in our sky. This is, I mean, when you really look up close and you look at some of the video that's been done of this thing, really nobody knows what to call it. Somebody mentioned to me Revelation 21, but, you know, I'm not pinning the tail on the donkey yet. I'm just saying this is incredibly unique, and what is so odd is in the, as far as, you know, our being newsworthy, it's not. I mean, nobody hardly is talking about it except people that actually look up, and maybe there's a point there, spiritual point actually, looking up. But those that are looking at it and watching it, and I'm getting emails from all over the country and really some around the world, they're watching it from all around the world, and they're all saying they've never really seen anything like this. And I wonder, Augusto, now let me be a little far-fetched here, but, you know, I wonder if, you know, this almost reminds me of the star that was seen at Jesus' birth. And I could be way off that there.
Right.
And, you know, I'm just wondering. I'm not trying to make points anywhere. I'm just saying this is really so odd. And in this time frame, it doesn't seem to fit in with where Eisen is or any of the comets or any of these other things. It's totally out of place. And
it
I had Sandale and two other people send me sky maps, and it's simply not on the sky map of the planet or star or anything that we've got posted, you know, on the sky map.
Yeah, this object, it is in the general area of where planet Venus is. Because I checked with a friend of mine in Houston, Texas, and, you know, he has the software and he has the cell phone where he just puts a cell phone he points it right at the star and he tells him, you know, what if there's anything in there, if there's any astronomical body in that region. But he said that you know, he told me, he said, there Venus is in that general region. But
yeah.
I have seen Venus, and this is not Venus. This is another object. Now, going into another topic here, Larry, there's something going on also with NASA. This year NASA has called it the year of the comet, and also has been saying to expect some debris from Eisen, that we may, you know, maybe expect some debris from Eisen. They're not confirming it. They're not denying it. They just say there may be. Now, Major A. Dames has been talking a lot about, you know, in his remote viewing sessions, that there's going to be a kill shot on its way, and we didn't have much time. Now, I'm not a follower of Ed Dames, but because, you know, I'm not into the remote viewing and all that, I don't follow that. I don't mess with that. But it is kind of interesting to realize, when you realize that he's basically saying that he cannot see beyond the year 2014, and that is exactly what the Lord showed me, Larry. And so, you know, he probably doesn't even know what the Lord said to me and showed me about, you know, 2013, 2014, and the vision I had back in 2006. So he doesn't know anything about it, and yet he's coming up with the same kind of stuff, the same kind of input and data that the Lord has given me. The other thing, Larry, that he mentions, I thought it was very interesting, is that he believes that the solar flares will reach Earth either in late 2013 or early 2014. And he sounds very concerned about this because he just cannot see anything past 2014. And so the latest thing I've heard from James McCaney also and others, scientists, is that Mars, when he passed by, Eisen, when he passed by Mars, developed a coma. And it changed colors. So that in itself right there is very, very, very strange. And then you put that together with the two-cylinder-looking crafts. I don't know if you've seen it, but I saw the Chinese, the video feed from a Chinese satellite, and there are two-cylinder-looking crafts orbiting Eisen in a raw footage from, I think it's called the Tian Lian number one satellite of August 23rd, 2013. Have you seen that, Larry?
No, I haven't, but I have seen two-cylinder or three-cylinder-like craft taken on the moon that were close to the moon. I'm going to fix and send you an email with those photographs. And this is the type of craft, when I had my arrival vision, the dream vision that I had for arrival, that was the type of craft I saw. I did not see round saucer craft. I saw these long craft, like cylinder type, you know. And one thing I was going to say, too, that you were talking about, you know, that I guess you could say throne room experience you had, ironically, you know, it's interesting that Ed Dames, and I'm like you, you know, I'm not a big remote viewer at all. I mean, you know, if the Lord don't take me somewhere, I don't go. But the interesting thing is him using the terminology 2013-2014, if you look at the Hebrew calendar, 1 year covers that area, basically. Their year, what is it, 5773, I believe, or something like that. You know, they go in the middle of our years almost. It's a little different than our timing, but 2013-2014 could encompass a biblical time frame as far as the Torah.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many things that are converging right now that it's just impossible to keep up with it anymore. I mean, I barely have enough time in the daytime, Larry, to just pray, you know, do my devotional with the Lord, and just just catch up with what's going on, and then you know, do whatever things I need to to do. I mean, eat and take a shower and do things around, you know, at the house and, you know, with my son and my wife, you know, that I need to.
Right.
I don't have time for anything else. And I know it sounds, it doesn't sound like I'm saying the truth, but I am saying the truth. The other thing that I wanted to share tonight, very important, and this has come to my attention in the last 24 to 48 hours, is the Observatory of Lisbon has leaked important information about Comet Ison that I need to share tonight. This is extremely important, people, and this will confirm many of the things that I have shared, Larry, with you and the first program we did on this topic must have been like 3 or 4 weeks ago, and many of the shows I have done, the radio shows and the broadcasts. This leak that came out of the Observatory of Lisbon confirms many of these things. They claim, according to this new source, they claim that fragments of Comet Ison will probably hit the Earth in December or up to December to mid-January. And they predict, the astronomers from this observatory predict that the Earth will be bombarded with small comet dust anytime from middle December through the middle of January. Now, this they have based on emulations or simulations performed using their supercomputer, which they call Tiger 2, and a proprietary model. They claim that when the comet enters the atmosphere of the sun, the ice will change state abruptly, turning into a propellant, changing the trajectory of the comet, okay? I am reading verbatim what they said. They claim that the fragments of this comet will spread in the shape of a cone with a base diameter of 300 kilometers. That's the distance from the Earth to the Moon. They claim that the comet, after crossing the Sun, will be highly, listen to this, highly fragmented. Fragments ranging from the size of a football to the size of a ship. Okay? At this time, according to the source, Ison is now at the frost line where the water ice begins to vaporize. Okay?
Mm.
They say that the propulsion of the ice will change the trajectory of the fragments. And now this is what I see may have all these people at NASA and the governments of the world, running amok with fear. They say that when the ice changes, okay, that when this and when the proportion of the ice changes, it will change the trajectory of the fragments, causing a shower of cometary that will hit the Earth in December, late December, up to middle of January. Comet Ison requires, that, according to them, only a change of 2 degrees to hit the Earth. They have leaked this in several forums. They have also said that they will speak openly in about a month. I guess that's about November sometime, after the comet passes a calibration point to verify their calculations. They say that the path of the fragments are very similar to the path of coronal mass ejection from the sun. They also mentioned that they mentioned a few things, you know, to compare it to. They say that 666 years ago, Comet Nigra, N-E-G-R-A, passed very close to the planet Earth in the year 1347. And when that happened, the Black Death took place on the Earth. 20 million people died. They also said that in the month of December, also, in 333 years later, Comet Avignon, over the city of Avignon, there appeared another comet causing earthquakes, tempests, thunders, and lightning, and thousands of people were swallowed up. They say that in France, it stained the rivers red. And then in 1680, there was another great comet which caused the Great Plague of Vienna. So all these things are coming now from this observatory, which I didn't even know existed, from Lisbon, and they're making all kinds of calculations, and I am pretty sure, Larry, that NASA has made these calculations, and other observatories have, and scientific people in other countries, the Russians, the Chinese, have also made these calculations, and they probably have arrived at the same conclusions. And now the pieces of the puzzle are beginning to come together, and this is why I believe that there was such a furor over in Puerto Rico, and there all these body bags arriving, over 2 million body bags now. Is the piece of information I'm hearing, and all kinds of MREs and water. And the government getting together in Puerto Rico. I received an email from Steve Quayle, let me see, on the 22nd, uh-huh. from Puerto Rico, where basically it was said that that there was a Puerto Rican meeting held, okay, in the town of Lares, hosted by Major Roberto Pagan Centeno, which included community leaders, members of the police department, and representatives from the Puerto Rican National Guard. The topic of the discussion was an event expected in the coming weeks, said to be catastrophic in nature. It was alluded to be a celestial event, and the mention of an asteroid was the main focus. Now, this information was given to this brother, which he did not give the name because he didn't want his name to be mentioned, was given to him by his brother through a community leader who was present at this meeting, but he did not want to be named. So all these things are beginning now to come through, through leaks and through sources. And it all seems to be converging, Larry. It is all converging on the same thing. There is something of catastrophic nature that they are predicting, they are waiting for in the next several months, which confirms pretty much what the Lord has been showing you and has been showing me, concerning these things. So it is... this is not to make people afraid, although if it makes people afraid and they repent because of it, I praise God for that. Because maybe these people will not repent unless something of this nature begins to happen. So, but I am sharing this for the people to prepare. I now understand more clearly, and each day it seems it becomes clearer why the Lord told me, Larry, warn my people. It's all becoming very clear to me right now.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. As a matter of fact, that's been resonating, I guess, through the airwaves ever since you began this. I've told my wife that you were doing a marathon of radio shows. It seemed like it anyway, but the word needs to get out. And by the way, I just sent you and Dorothy and Daniel up a copy of that email with that images of moon and those long craft in the images, and those craft were similar to the shape of the ones I saw in my arrival experience. But, people have got to prepare, and seriously, what you're doing, really, you're actually warning people to prepare spiritually first and then to follow up with natural preparations and I guess the third would be preparing your mind to go through some of these things. I mean, I have no doubt that a lot of people just simply cannot handle a reality. Well, I guess you could say a reality of judgment. I mean, that's almost what you have to say because, hey, when we look at our country, our nation, and just take a good long look at Washington, D.C., boy, there's nothing funny about that. That is an incredible, beyond dimensions seriousness, for our nation. And to think that judgment would not fall, I mean, you can't. You simply cannot say that it won't. And that's what you're doing, I think, Augusto, is literally wanting the people to prepare, and the cosmic events, hey, they seem to be out there, and the same thing with, I know Stan Dale for a long time has warned about an arrival, and you know, I've been trying to warn, and of course, you know, I agree with Daniel Holdings a lot in that area, that if people can't understand some of the very natural things you talk about, in other words, if I talk about, let's say, a United States president that cannot tell the truth, if they can't understand that, which most don't or appear not to, how do I talk to them about aliens or UFOs or cosmic events or something way out in the cosmos? You can't, you know, how do you touch on those matters when they can't even see something right in front of their face?
Amen. Yeah, I know. I know exactly what you mean. There is a condition of denial that the majority of the people are in, and it is extremely difficult to shake them and wake them up from it. I mean, it's almost impossible to shake some of them. Only by the grace of God are they awakened and shaken from it. And I am trying my best to, you know, exactly to do that. And the Lord showed this to me, Larry, some years ago in that vision of the great glory cloud. He showed it to me. I saw multitudes of people. I was standing on this platform, and I was trying to awaken them. I was trying to shake them. I was trying to alert them. Please wake up, because I saw a glory cloud coming. I saw the coming of the glory of the Lord. That's what I saw coming, with the chariots and horsemen, and it was getting closer very, very fast. And I was trying to tell the people, wake up, you know, get your house in order, repent, you know, get right with God, you know, start serving him, start worshiping him, start living godly lives, you know, get ready, prepare the Lord. The glory of the Lord is coming fast. But they just wouldn't pay attention. And I was so frustrated with it. And the man that was standing right next to me, which I believe he was an angel of the Lord, because he was like my bodyguard, huge in stature. He just, in a booming voice, you know, basically rebuked them and told them, you know, to better listen to what I'm saying. And, but, you know, this is the condition, that it is condition of denial. And I am so frustrated at times. I am so disappointed. I'm so frustrated because this thing is at the door, Larry. Another thing I was reading was about the Tunguska event of 1908. I was reading a report that rock was only 620 feet wide, and it was part of a comet, okay, that was passing in at that time, and it was an explosion that knocked down an estimated 80 million trees over an area covering 2,150 square kilometers. Now that asteroid was a small fragment of Comet Encke, which had a nucleus of only 4.8 kilometers. Now, Aizen is way, way bigger than that. And astronomers have now, Larry, identified 20 asteroids on a similar path to the as the Russian meteor. 20 asteroids. They have counted 20 asteroids right now that are coming our way, similar to the one that hit Tunguska. And now, this is being caused by something. Something is doing this. And we've talked about it in other radio shows. You have been shown it. You have been shown this object out there, the destroyer. Something is throwing comets our way from the Oort cloud toward our inner solar system. And our Earth, planet Earth, is now entering a very dangerous time in which it's going to be brought to a potential collision course with many of these asteroids. And the changes in the Earth orbit basically show, and I just found out about this, Larry, in the last 24, 48 hours, okay? Scientists have done research, and they have found out that every 2,000 to 4,000 years, okay, there is something that happens to planet Earth, okay? There's something that happens to planet Earth that is impacted in a mighty way by these asteroids or meteors. And they look at things like climate records and ice core records, and they see a pattern. They see a pattern in history that proves this. And according to them, the Earth was bombarded 13,000 years ago by the fragments of a giant comet that broke up in the sky. Now, people, we're talking about a comet now that is very, very large. And again, I'm not saying that all these things are going to happen. I'm just saying that something is fixing to happen. And people, you need to get right with the Lord. I do not know how much of this we're going to have to endure. I do not know when the Lord is getting ready to remove us. I just know that he is going to. He's going to have to remove his people, Larry. There is no way for these things to happen with a bright steel heel. This is going to be catastrophic. Now, I'm not talking about a little tsunami or maybe an earthquake that may kill several thousand people. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about an event that is going to wipe out millions of people from the planet. Millions. And it's going to cause, that is going to be the initial impact. After it, it's going to cause such havoc in the weather patterns that is going to cause incredible famines throughout the world. That is going to kill millions more. I mean, the Bible talks about one-third of humanity dying by cometary impacts and another third dying by the results from that. So I'm just trying to warn the people, you need to be ready, people. You need to be ready. Don't play the games anymore, please. Listen to the voice of the Lord. I'm not telling you these things out of my own desire. I'm not sharing this with you because I like to do another show. Please, listen to what I'm trying to tell you tonight and what Larry Taylor is trying to tell you. These things are coming, and we haven't even begun to talk about some of the other things that you alluded to, Larry, about alien intervention. But go ahead if you want to share some of that.
Well, you know, you're exactly right. And yes, you know, I was shocked because I prayed about the destroyer. And literally I began to pray about that after I actually got my hands on a book called The Cobrin, and you got a copy of it, and I was reading some of that, and I thought, my Lord, I mean, you know, if this stuff's real and not just a myth, you know, I better pray about this. And so I went into prayer praying about it, and the next thing I know, I was given an experience where I was taken, and literally taken. You know, and I don't know if a lot of people have had experiences where you literally leave your physical body and you're taken through parts of the, I'll just say, the solar system where you recognize planets. You know, you recognize things that you're going by, bypassing or whatever. But, you know, I was taken and I actually literally went to the sun from the earth. I went past the sun, our sun, and I saw this thing. You know, and it was a very dark object. It was warm. You know, it had inner fire. I'll put it that way, but it wasn't visible. It looked so dark though that it could almost, you know, it almost made me think that it would literally, if there was any light out there, it would suck it in. It was an amazing thing to look at. I really did get a real close look. You know. Sometimes if you don't want to know something, don't ask God. You know, he just might show you. But, you know, after I woke from that experience, my Lord, I mean, you know, you didn't have to. And even in the experience itself, I asked what I was looking at, and the terminology I was given or the name I was getting, you know, it wasn't, you know, no, you know, I wasn't given Planet X or Nibiru or, you know, any of those terms. I was told this is the destroyer. It is a destroyer of worlds. And that was worlds plural, you know. And so that was an experience I'll never forget. It answered my question. You know, when I see across the Internet all this information and people mocking and scoffing, you know, all these, I guess you could say, spiritual ding-dongs that think there's something out in the cosmos, I just kind of lean back and smile because they really don't know what they're talking about. I mean, literally don't know what they're talking about. I can't convince them. It don't matter, I suppose, but, you know, Augusto, when I read the other day, I clicked on your website, theappearance.com, and I went to the dreams and visions section, and I just scrolled down all the dreams and visions you've got listed. I can't remember now, 20 maybe, or maybe a little more than that, but all of them are so dramatic. I mean, Augusto, you've not been given mild visions and dreams, you know, anything just mediocre. Your stuff is, it reaches cataclysm levels, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right, Larry. And this is why my heart is so heavy. Like, it seems like every time now I pray to my Father every morning, and every time I sit and open the Bible and I read, you know, and I ask Him to just give me scriptures that He wants me to read. And it seems like now without fail, every time I start reading the Word, there are words of confirmation to me. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. You know, he keeps telling me, do not be afraid. The righteous need to be afraid. This thing is going to destroy the righteous, but not my righteous, the unrighteous, not my righteous seed. Do not be afraid. And, he keeps reminding me how in history, I mean, the best way to know God, Larry, is to read the Bible, what He did before. If we learn to know His nature, we need to learn to get to know His nature. Even better that we get to know His Word.
That's right.
Even though we know His Word, if we don't know His nature, we need to trust Him in His nature, that He is a kind and compassionate God, that what He did for His other servants back in the days of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, what He did with Noah, what He did with, even with Lot, which was not His quote-unquote servant. He was just a righteous man living in an ungodly city. He did not destroy that city until he got Lot out. And, he kept showing me these things. And, the Lord Almighty, He is not going to judge the righteous with the wicked. And He is not going to judge those that belong to Him and are faithful to Him with the ungodly. And every prophecy that I have heard and every word of God that I have received deals with that topic, that He is going to destroy the wicked. Because the more I find out about stuff, Larry, the more I realize how wicked this world has become. Even people that are not saved now realize how wicked this world has become. It has reached a level of wickedness and lawlessness that is, it defies imagination any longer. And you're absolutely right. All these visions and dreams that the Father keeps giving me are about the day of the Lord, are about that day. And that day is upon us. It is upon us. He began dealing with me about these things some years ago. He began to show me these things, and then He began to deal with me individually to prepare. He began to deal with me individually to prepare. The first time, what He did was he spoke to me through a TV set, and he literally said to me, "Do you know what time it is?" Now, these things were confirmed supernaturally. I preached in different churches. I preached, for example, in a church in Miami, Florida. And as I was sharing this very vision, vision I'm sharing tonight, this lady raises her hand up, and I say, "Yes, what is that?" I mean, it's very rare for a woman to raise her hand while I'm preaching the word. It just doesn't happen. And she raised her hand and said, when I said, "Go ahead, what is it?" And she said, "I just want to say that when you were sharing about that dream you had or that experience you had about the voice coming through the TV saying, 'Do you know what time it is?' and sharing the scripture that the Lord gave you," he says, "my watch stopped at 12:20 and it won't start again." And then her husband raises his hand also, and I say, "Oh, man, what now?" So I said to him, "Oh, sure. What is it, sir? Go ahead." And he said, "I just want to say that my watch also, just like my wife's, has also stopped at 12:20. Wow. And of course, what the scripture, you know, that the Lord gave me was 12:20, because the voice that came out of the TV said, "Do you know what time it is?" And then he said, "It's 12:20 a.m. And he gave me Ezekiel 12:20, which if you read Ezekiel 12:20 all the way to the end, he talks about the destruction that is coming upon the earth. And so first the Lord gave me that. Then the Lord, sometime later, I had a very strange experience in the middle of the night where the angel of the Lord came to me face to face, Larry, and said, "It's time to come into alignment."
I remember that.
In other words, it's time to get ready, son. It's time to get rid of all the leaven that you may have. It's time to get rid of any unforgiveness you may have. It's time to get rid of any little sin you may have, any even thoughts that are not right, are not righteous. Get into alignment. And he's been warning me like this for several years now. Now, this is in conjunction to all the dreams and visions that he's been giving me about the end times, the cataclysmic events. And the other night, Larry, I was just laying in bed, and, you know, and we are still in the flesh. And sometimes, you know, things happen to you that you get all upset, and, you know, you get in the flesh. And you know, and as I was sleeping in the night, this object that was not supposed to fall falls in the middle of the night and wakes me up. I mean, it was a very loud sound, and I wake up, and when I wake up, I hear the voice of the Lord said, "Son, you better get your heart completely clean. You cannot allow that to be in your heart."
Uh-huh.
And right there, I repented, and I turned it over to the Lord. You know, this is how serious this is, people. You cannot allow unforgiveness or bitterness to be in your heart. You cannot allow even a sin, any kind of sin, any kind of lust, any kind of gossip, any kind of talking bad about people. You cannot allow these things to be in your heart any longer. These things will deter you from the glory cloud of God that is almost upon us. And I saw it. It was upon us. This was a few years ago. And I believe with all of my heart that these are the warnings that the Lord is desperately trying to get to his people, for me to warn his people. Larry, I have been set on fire. My heart, my bosom is so on fire to warn his people. Like, I got myself a box full of tracks. I went out and bought me a box full of chick tracks. And the Lord, you know, the Lord put it in my heart. And he even gave me strategy how to win the souls now, you know, either buy them a hamburger or a French fries or give them a drink or whatever, you know, just to get them saved, just to get them saved, because the times are so right now that the window is closing. The window of opportunity is closing, people, and you don't understand it. You have no clue. And this thing is about to, it's about to happen. This event is going to be horrible. It's going to be a cataclysmic event. I believe it's going to be an asteroid impact. I really do. That is going to knock the Earth out of its orbit. I believe it's going to cause 3 days of darkness. I believe it's going to it's going to cause the rotation of the Earth to wobble, just like the book of Isaiah says. Is going to maybe speed up the earth. I don't know. I'm just guessing now. But it's going to be very catastrophic. And this is why these people are so terrified. And they're preparing in FEMA Region 3. They're preparing in Puerto Rico. I did a show with Alex Backman. He told me that the military in Puerto Rico are preparing as well. In Puerto Rico, also in Europe, Germany, and some of these other countries are preparing the same way. So something big is coming, and they know it, but they're not telling the people. NASA has kind of alluded to it. NASA recently released a video, and I'm going to post this on our website, Larry. I'm going to send that to you if I can. And NASA just released a video that shows the Earth rotation slowing down as Ison makes its approach and turns around the sun. I don't know if you've seen that, but it's
no, I haven't. I have not.
It's something. And so, and you know, and so an impact from Comet Ison, or a fragment of Comet Ison, because I don't believe it's going to be the whole comet. It's going to be probably a fragment of it. If it does what the observatory in Lisbon does, it's saying it's going to do, it's going to fragment. If a fragment from that impacts the Earth, according to these scientists, it's going to release 300 gigatons blast that will create a tidal wave 300 feet high. Now, this is no small beans and potatoes. This is a major cataclysmic event. So I have already posted on our website. If you go there now, I have posted some of that. I have posted the Lisbon Observatory Ison video. Okay? It's posted under November 2013. So I'm going to be posting other stuff there, but you can go there and take a look at that now, even while this program is going on.
Well, I'll tell you something that's kind of interesting. Did you get that image I sent you of the three long craft on the moon?
I did get that. I was looking at it just now, and it does look really eerie similar to that other video I saw of those rod-looking craft orbiting Ison. It's
exactly.
The same type of shape. What do you think those ships are, Larry?
Well, I'm not really positive on that, but, you know, that's the image of the ship that I saw in the experience that I was given on the arrival. You know, they didn't arrive like, you remember the old movie V, and then I think they had another one came out, I can't remember, the craft, you know, they all arrived in saucer craft.
Right.
But that was not what I saw. This is literally what I saw. And it's odd that all of a sudden these are showing up. Some of these craft, they've been seen it near the sun also, you know. We've been getting at. But I wanted to read. Let me read you these words real quick. I didn't know that Barry Rothman had done a torocode on the Comet Ison. He just did a torocode, and they named it Comet Ison Fear. Now, here's the words that he found in the Torah when he ran it, and it looks like a pretty close, tight run. It says, Comet Ison, fear, devour the earth and its produce and set ablaze the foundations of mountains, burn with fire, molten image, destroy, and all their high places, demolish. The sun was risen. And, you know, you can look at that later, but it's kind of interesting words in the Torah that appear to have come back on one of his research with Comet Ison. It looks like a tight group. You know, and he actually mentions a lot of warnings going on, you know, East Coast and Puerto Rican, et cetera, and I won't just stay on that, but I thought that was interesting words if that's what he actually had come back. Now, for people that don't know, the Torah codes are ran in Hebrew. They're not ran in English. And so what he found, he had to translate from Hebrew, you know, into English out of the Torah. And that was the wording that I read to everyone of his translations from the Hebrew is what the words were that I read. But I find that astonishing. And he was also talking about a date, and here he says, talks about burn with fire. He says this is also applicable to the comet as it reaches perihelion, which what you're talking about, closest approach to the sun on November the 28th, 2013.
Yeah, absolutely. There is all kinds of things that are now being seen. For example, there's a CCD footage revealing at least two other bodies well out ahead of the comet Ison. And there are also reports that say there are several others trailing from behind the comet. And, of course, you know, you have seen that image, right? I mean, everybody has seen that image of Ison
now. I saw the image. I think you sent it to me, or a couple of people sent it. The image where it actually looked like there was three something's in the head of the comet. I mean, it's three different distinct parts of the comet head, which is really strange. And then I also saw an image where it looked like there was something in, within the tail of the comet. So it is definitely, it's really, really different. I'll put it that way. It's very different. You know, when we hear the term comet, you know, I have to agree with James McCaney. You know, we think, it's almost like when somebody says UFO, we think of a saucer craft, and that's not really true. I mean, there's all kind of UFOs. A bird could be a UFO if you couldn't identify it flying over. But I think we do the same thing to comets. We all seem to fixate on our image in our mind of a comet, and it's not necessary. You know, some of these things may not even be comets. They may be something we really haven't seen before, you know, when we get to dealing with the cosmos.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, from the reports I have seen of this object called, quote-unquote, I-Sun, and it's very interesting, it's called I-Sun. Some reports I have read, okay, scientific community is saying that it is three objects, okay? Other reports are saying it is just one solid object. And, I mean, there's all kinds of conflicts about it, which reminds me a lot, Larry, of Comet Alenin.
You're right. Yeah.
Except this is much bigger, much, much bigger than Alenin was. And the thing also that concerns me is the fact that that NASA has declared this year the year of the comet. So they're definitely they know something that they're not talking about. The other thing that is converging with all these things happening right now is, of course, the Mayan calendar, which, you know, there was a lot of talk of December 21st, 2012. But we have recently come to also understand that the real end of the Mayan calendar would have been December 16, 2013, not December 21st, 2012. And that is exactly, I mean, believe it or not, that is exactly the time when this object, I-Sun, is going to be, you know, is going to make its close approach to the Earth. It is going to be, I mean, it's going to reach perihelion around November 28, 29. And then is going to come between us and the sun around November 20 in the evening, in November 28, 2013, which is not really between us and the sun, but it's because it's going to be above us. But that's going to be November 28. It's going to be 0.013 AU from the sun, and then as it turns around the sun, Larry, as it turns around the sun. I was plotting this graphs, you know, of Comet I-Sun, what it's going to do. As it comes around the sun, okay, and it's going to turn and it's going to swim back out, it's going to look to us here on planet Earth as if it is coming right at us. Hmm. That is what it's going to look like, unless it disintegrates, okay? The closest approach to planet Earth is going to be on December 26th. It's going to be 0.428 AU. And on January the 3rd, it's going to be directly over us. And that's when, according to scientists, we're going to begin, a few days after that, we're going to begin to go through its tail. If you go to that video I mentioned to you on the Lisbon Observatory, there is a very interesting video there, and it shows you, okay, the tail of Comet I-Sun. And it shows you, okay, very, very beautifully. I mean, they did a great job on showing in the orbits of it how around the middle of January it's going to, you know, we are going to go right through the tail and the fragments and the debris, the dust particles and debris of Comet I-Sun. So there is concern for this. There is some concern. Although a lot of these dust particles, you know, they're totally, you know, they're not going to be a threat. But, you know, the smaller particles, the dust particles. But if there are some larger objects there, we may be hit with some of that, and that is, I believe, what these people are fearing. So, I mean, there's all kinds of things happening that we don't understand. Why are these objects out there around this comet? I don't know. Either they are doing something to the comet. Are they trying to control the path of the comet, or are they being or are they using the comet for some other reason, or maybe as a camouflage? I don't know. I'm just speculating, like most people out there. What is the purpose? Why are these objects, these cylinder looking objects? Why is that strange looking object hiding there in ISUN that looks like a craft, if you ask me? What is that? So many of these questions are coming into focus now as these dates are getting closer to us, Larry.
Well, I'll tell you what, Augusto, you know, I know you're close to my age. You remember an old black and white movie that came out, in science fiction movie years ago? Might have been by Bradbury, or he may have had connected to it, but it was called This Island Earth. I don't know if you remember that or not. It was in the 50s, I think.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen that one.
Okay, well, in This Island Earth, in another location, there was a planet that was being bombarded by, I don't know, it looked like comets, actually, interestingly. There was a war going on out in the cosmos, and you didn't see the beings that were doing the attacking, but the ones that, you know, were being attacked, appeared to be human people, but probably a little bit smarter than most humans on Earth. And, they had saucer technology and all that kind of thing. Well, their planet, their atmosphere, their planet, and their planet were being attacked and destroyed by, get this, in the movie now, black and white movie in the 50s, This Island Earth is the name of it. It was being attacked by intelligent, guided, in other words, the enemy was guiding comet-like objects from outer space to that planet and bombarding the atmosphere and then breaking through into the depths of some of the planet. They were really hitting the planet. And the premise of the movie was, they needed some help on working with trying to restore their atmosphere, and they were dying, and so they came to Earth to get some scientists together to take back there, but it didn't work out that well. But it's interesting that, you're talking about, you didn't understand, and I don't even understand the reasoning of objects that appear to be not natural. In other words, the shape of these things are just not even natural, really, to our understanding. But in that movie, interestingly enough, the enemy of those people of that planet were using intelligently, they were literally guiding comets to hit that planet in the atmosphere and using them as weapons. And it almost, I remember Richard Coombs, who's deceased now, he talked a lot about America, Babylon, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of his research that the Lord would even bring, enemy or those against even America from the far reaches of the cosmos, so to speak. And I, when you were talking, I thought that kind of went along with the same line a little bit, what you was questioning, Kind of an odd question, but it's something to think about.
Absolutely. Someone sent me a vision, an experience that they had, because I get emails from all over the world. There are 21 countries, Larry, that are getting and downloading our shows and our broadcasts right now. So I'm getting stuff from all over the world. And I got this vision, okay, from a brother, which I may in the near future maybe allow him to share his vision on one of our programs. He had a vision, he said, where he was taken to heaven. And basically, to put it in a nutshell, because I don't want to share his vision, because that this is his vision, his experience. Basically, what he's saying is that he was shown that Lucifer was being cast down, okay, from the second heaven, he was being taken, he was being removed from there, and basically he started throwing darts at the earth with asteroids. And when I read that, I said, That is really interesting, because, you know, this is exactly what is happening right now. Something is throwing many of these asteroids right at us, and we are basically trying to dodge them and trying to survive this thing. And basically, he's basically saying that this is happening or is about to happen, where this this event is going to take place. So I'm going to try to have him maybe in one of the future programs share that vision. But that's kind of interesting, because it goes right with what you were just sharing, Larry, about some of the ships hurling objects at the planet. And this is something. I mean, this spacecraft, wherever they come from, and we haven't even touched on that subject yet, which we probably will get into the second hour with Daniel Holdings. Many of these craft, Larry, have tremendous power, something we have never seen before. They can literally play games with the weapons that the military in planet Earth, the governments of our planet have. They can play games with us. That's how far advanced they are, way above anything that we have ever seen. And of course, we know from the Book of Enoch and from the other sources that those fallen angels, the Nephilims, and the fallen angels, the Watchers, when they came down, they literally exchanged technology for the use of their women, and basically for breeding purposes, and to produce the giants. And they gave mankind all kinds of technology and technological information that they did not have back then. So this is exactly what they're doing today. They're giving way, way far advanced technological information to the governments of the Earth. This is what's going on in their deep underground secret bases there in New Mexico and, in Aurora and all throughout New Mexico and Nevada and many of these other Area 51 and so forth. The lower levels of all these bunkers, of all these military dumb bases, are basically for these aliens to exchange technology and to work on their technology projects, the quote-unquote black projects, which is where all our trillions of dollars disappear into, that, they magically go poof and disappear, and nobody knows where they went to. That is where they're going. That is where the money is going. And so these entities are building huge super weapons down under the Earth, which they surely have them in their ships somewhere in outer space. This is why people have been seeing these objects with a strange-looking apparatus, like sucking energy out of the sun. And then they leave, they disappear. And all these kinds of stuff that they have the ability to do, many of them are gigantic in size, the size of a planet, small planets. So, we have not seen anything like this. And the peoples of the Earth are in for an incredible awakening, a rude awakening in the near future.
That's right. We got a compliment, by the way, on the chat room. I see that one of the people, after we talked about that sci-fi movie, they said, "You guys are ancient."
but
you're exactly right, and they're right. Some days I feel ancient. But, what you're saying is right, and Stan Deo has really been adamant lately. I don't know if you've heard any of his shows much lately, but you've been really busy. But he's coming out strongly over and over now, reporting that those bases have been taken over by the so-called alien groups, the fallen ones, and we literally don't command anything but, I guess, the surface of them. I mean, deep below and all, they're contained by them, and we don't get in there, is what he's saying. And, of course, Stan, he's been in the know. He's been in down to these bases. He's been inside them. He's talked to me about time travel experiments and, he knows what he's talking about, and he is warning that we're very close to, a conflict of the ages, so to speak, with another race or another group of Nephilim or et cetera, fallen angels. But, I got to thinking, too, and I know we're right at the top of the hour.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that, is the fact that these fallen angels, they know how our 3D I guess you could say the way that our three-dimensional habitation is set up around the Earth and the planets, and they know how to manipulate it, and they have passed that on, to the their sons, the Nephilim, and the demonic and all, it's a big ball game. I know a lot of people don't realize it. The ball game's a big one.
Amen. Well, we are at the top of the hour, and I believe that Dorothy has a song that she's going to give us to listen to, so that people can go and put the cat out and stuff like that, and get a drink of water and get some coffee or a drink. And then we'll come back. When we come back, we're going to get Larry right into that subject with Danny Holdings. And so it's going to be a very, very interesting second hour. So stay with us, and we'll be right back.
There's a true story of a small village in India. And in this village, there was this family that came to a saving faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. This agitated the village so much, and everybody became so upset that an angry mob gathered and shoved them into the public square. The village chief confronted them, and he said to the man, "If you and your family will not recant your faith, you all will surely die." The man didn't know what to say or what to do. And so the only thing that came to mind for him were the words of the song that he himself had composed when he had first surrendered his life to God. And so he began to sing, "I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back." And with that, horrifically, his children were killed.
"I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
He was given another chance, this time with his wife's life on the line. And yet he continued to sing, "Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back."
After her tragic death, he was given one final opportunity, this time to save himself. And yet he continued to sing.
"Cross before me, the world behind. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning.
Even though that man and his family died on that day, something remarkable happened. A seed was planted in the heart of that village chief, a seed that began to grow over time, and eventually he called the community together in that very same neighborhood, in that very same square, and he renounced his former faith and declared his allegiance to Jesus Christ. And a celebration broke out in that moment, and the gospel began to flourish and to grow in that community, not just in that village, but across the whole region, because they had seen real faith, and they knew the true character of God because of a family that believed and sacrificed, even under the penalty of death.
No turning back.
And gentlemen, we're back.
Hello, Augusto.
Yes, praise God, praise God. Do we have Daniel Holdings on the line?
I am here, gentlemen. Thank you for having me. I've been listening to the show for the last 45 minutes, and particularly that great music as well. Guys, you know, we are at such a pinnacle of history. It is stunning for those of us that watch the news and the events happening on the earth, all of the things that are coming, and I'm going to use this word. I know the New Agers stole it, but it is a true word for where we're at. I am stunned at the convergence of events, not only earth changes, not only political changes, not only economic changes, not only sociological changes, not only spiritual changes, but dimensional changes as well as changes within our own atmosphere and solar system. Guys, I am just stunned. And to hear, Augusto, that was such a timely song, because there is a couple things that I am convinced of, and I just want to share those two things with you. And the first thing is that all the things that Jesus said would happen are about to happen. I'm convinced of this. Literally about to happen. If you talk to some, you know, super religious theologians, they'll tell you that it was allegory, that it was, the Bible contains less myths, if you will. But they were just less. I'm convinced, guys, that the things that Jesus said would happen in Matthew 24 and other places, that the prophets of old said would happen, as in Ezekiel, like you were quoting earlier, Augusto, are indeed going to happen because God told us they were going to happen in His Word. And then the second thing that I am convinced of is that, you know, it says in Joel that in the last days that God would pour out His Spirit upon all mankind, and that young men would see visions and old men would dream dreams. And I am equally convinced that as the battle begins to rage, as it already has, I don't know about your lives. I know, you know, you've been going through some stuff, Larry and Augusto. My life is crazy, but audience, I'm telling you, as the battle begins to rage around us, God raises up a standard for His people. And that standard is Jesus Christ Himself. And the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us will carry you and carry me through, so that we too can stand there and say no turning back, regardless of those things that are coming upon the earth. So, Augusto, I so much appreciate the things that you've shared, and Larry, the things that you've brought out. It's an honor and a pleasure to be with you today, and I hope that I can contribute to the conversation.
Well, we're glad you're here, Daniel, and, you know, we kind of set the foundation the first hour. I want to take this program in a different direction because we haven't even touched this subject. We kind of alluded to it, but I know you had a recent show with Steve Quayle on the thinning of the veil, and this kind of flows together with where I would like to get into in the second hour. Basically, is I talked with Larry in the first hour. The object that he has been seeing, and I have been seeing, and many people have been seeing on the western sky, the southwestern skies, and it looks like a bright star. Many said it is Venus, but it is not Venus. It is kind of in the same area where Venus is, but it's not Venus. It changes color. It changes size. It pulsates. The color of it is kind of yellowish. And I was making a very interesting observation the other night. I was looking at the stars in the heavens, and the color of those stars is kind of a cool white, very, very clean, cool white. And as I was watching the cars, you know, I was driving in the highway, and I was watching cars coming, you know, in my direction. I looked at the lights, and, you know, every single one of those lights from the vehicles that were approaching me was kind of yellowish, white to yellowish lights. And something dawned on me, and this is what dawned on me, and I believe it was a download from the Spirit of God, and that is that whenever we see a yellowish, a white to yellowish or orange or any other color light in the heavens, it is not going to, and it's pulsating, it's not stable, it's changing, it's shifting. It is coming from a man-made or it's not coming from a natural object. It's coming from some type of device or some type of craft that is manufacturing this light. This light is not normal. That is why it is changing, it's shifting, changing size, it's moving. It's yellowish in color or orange kind of looking in color. And it dawned on me, this thing that we are seeing is a craft. This is not a planet. This is not even an object, you know, a meteor or a comet. This is a craft. This is an object that is made by some intelligent life. And so as I was watching this, I remembered what you've seen, Larry. And I also started remembering some things that that came out in the year 2011. And I don't know if the people remember this, but it was a CNN commercial. It came out actually in 2009, and then they brought it out again in 2011, where it was a message from Maitreya, which is supposed to be the avatar that is coming at the end of times. You know, it's going to lead humanity into the new world order. It's going to bring peace. It's going to bring the sharing of wealth and so forth and so on. And this is what the commercial said. And then I want to throw it around you guys to see what you think about this, because I thought this was very fascinating in light of this light that has just appeared. This is what the CNN commercial said. It said, "Look for a bright star shining in the sky as a sign of his public emergence." Okay? They said, when this star, okay, this object will appear like a star, but it is not a star. This is their words. It is not a star. And basically says to expect this object to appear before the emergence of Maitreya. Now, I also watched an interview that they did with Benjamin Krim. And they asked him about Maitreya, when he will appear. And one of the things he said, which was very interesting, and I don't counsel people to listen to this guy, because he's full of deception and full of trickery and full of dark power. But I watch it with much prayer and intercession. But I don't recommend people of God watching, especially if you're not strong in the Lord. But this man said that when Maitreya appears, he said there's going to be four spaceships. He said that there are gigantic spaceships that are going to be placed all over the earth so that every human being on the face of the planet will see one big light, bright light in the sky. In the day and at night, always it's going to be visible, in the daylight and also at night. And he says, when this happens, this is going to signal the arrival and the emergence of this avatar, which they call Maitreya, which is going to be the Messiah to the Christians. is going to be the Messiah also to the Jews, Jesus Christ to the Christians, Messiah to the Jews, the fifth Buddha to the Buddhists, the Imam Mahdi to the Muslims. You know, it's going to be everything to all religions of the earth. He's going to merge all the religions of the earth into one solid religion, and it's going to lead mankind into the worship of this false god. And the God of Forces, Daniel talks about the God of Forces. So when I saw this big deal about the star, I began to remember what this man said. And I believe that this has a lot to do with what this is, what the people are seeing. This may also have something to do with Ison. You know, Ison, as we were talking in the first hour, Larry, is being seen with this strange-looking shape, with, you know, the bright round like a light in the center, with these two like rod-looking lights on the sides that looks like a craft. It looks like a warbird from the, you know, from the episodes of Star Trek. And you know, so what is this thing? What does this has to do with the appearance of the Maitreya? I believe it has everything to do with the appearance of Maitreya. I don't know. I cannot vouch on it. I am not sure. The Lord has not revealed anything about this to me. I'm just speculating and speaking from what I have seen, from what I have read, and from what others have seen in the last couple of years. What do you think about that? Now, let me start with Larry, and then I'm going to bring it around to you, Daniel. What do you think about that, Larry?
That's pretty straight. I mean, you know, we are in some incredible times, seriously. And as I was saying, one of the things, too, that I did want to bring up was the fact that, you know, you mentioned warbirds. A lot of these craft and different ones that have, you know, I deal a lot offline, you know, with Richard Shaw. He does the work for, you know, Watchers series with Ellie Marzulli. And he's got some, they've got Watcher 7 coming out shortly that will have some incredible photography in it. Not mine, mind you, but some incredible photography that looks similar to mine. I was beginning to wonder if I was all alone, but there are other people taking photographs of things in our atmosphere, in our sky, in space that are really, really showing up. And they're certainly, they don't appear to be natural. They don't appear to be they appear to be artificial objects. In other words, created objects, which is really just what you just said. You know, I just have to go along with what you just said, every bit of it.
Well, praise God. Daniel, what do you think? Do you think this light that is being seen by many on the west, southwest, which many said is Venus, but it's not Venus. I've seen Venus. Do you think this light has anything to do with what I share about Maitreya, or do you think maybe this is something else? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, Augusto, it's interesting you bring up that light, because my wife and I have been watching that light, and I haven't spoken to you guys about it, but we have indeed been watching that light. And as you were talking, I had a couple of thoughts, and the first thought was when you were speaking about the yellowishness of that light. You know, it occurs to me that, you know, darkness is not, how should I say this? Darkness is not real. I mean, I don't know if people know this. Darkness is the absence of light. Physicists actually have proven this, that as you get down to zero light, that's where darkness comes in. And that's why when somebody flicks on a light, that darkness goes away, because the light invades that space, or it adds to the light that's there or should be there. So when you see a yellowish light, that's less light in it. That, you know, it's not so much a yellow color as it is less light. The other thing that struck me as you were talking, Augusto, is that about Maitreya. You know, it occurred to me that when Jesus first made his entrance on this earth, in this realm, in this dimension, it was at the heralding of a star. And the devil is such the counterfeiter. He always is He always will be. There's nothing else he can do because he's a creative being. He is not omnipotent. He's not, omnipresent. He's none of those things. He said that he wanted to be like the Most High because he can't obviously be the Most High because there's only one God and God created him. So it occurs to me that whoever this is, whether it be Maitreya or somebody else, what you're going to see at the advent of the Antichrist when he makes his entrance are many things that copied Jesus when he came to earth. And I was thinking as you were talking, I wonder if that guy will be 33 too, because that's how old Jesus was. And Larry, you know, I just realized something. I've been remiss. I said I would send you that Superman movie. And one of the things that people talked about before I saw that movie and as I saw that movie, when Superman in that movie, it's the new man, the new movie, Man of Steel, was very interesting. And I think there are clues. I mean, you guys always talk about clues in movies. One of the things in that movie that happened when Superman finally made himself known to the world, when he came out, so to speak, he was 33. And so it really, Augusto, I wonder if, in fact, because, you know, these people can't do a Jesus thing. There's only one Jesus, so when they saw the star, they saw the star. But could it be that these four ships represent the star in the heavens that, you know, the shepherds saw heralding the advent of Jesus? And I don't know. I think it could entirely be possible. I don't know. It's a very crazy thing.
Well, I'm thinking of that scripture in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where he talks about, you know, and if the people read that whole chapter, it is very, 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 very clear that Paul, the Apostle Paul, is responding, okay? In this letter, he's responding to a question, okay, about the coming of the Lord. Someone, you know, the epistles are basically letters from the apostles. Most of them were written by Paul. The epistles are letters, okay? It's not like the Gospels or the Book of Acts. They're letters, and many of the letters that Paul wrote, some of them he wrote from the prison, and some of them he did not, but basically they were answers to questions that people, you know, believers had sent him and asked them that they wanted to know. So in this particular book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he is answering a question apparently regarding the coming of the Lord and the gathering of his people, you know, to him, basically the harpazo, you know. When he comes, you know, we're going to come, go with him. So this is a question regarding that topic. And then he answers that question by saying, I don't want you to be confused. I don't want you to be troubled in the spirit. I don't want you to be shaken in mind by letter from us that the day of the Lord is at hand. Because they knew that the day of the Lord and, okay, the beginning of the day of the Lord and the harpazo, or the gathering together of the believers in Christ with the Lord, okay, when he comes and he takes them, okay, that event is falls in the same time. It happens simultaneous with the day of the Lord. And so he's basically saying, I don't want you to be perplexed. I don't want you to be troubled that the day of the Lord is at hand, okay? Let no one deceive you. For that day shall not come except, and then he says a couple of things. One, there's a coming of falling away first. And that word falling away is a word in the original which has to do with, let me see, it's right here, it's apostasia, which has to do with forsaking, okay, defection from truth. That is the meaning in the Greek. Falling away is apostasia, which has to do with, the definition is defection from truth, or falling away, or forsaking. In other words, people forsaking, okay, something, a truth that they held dear, and they begin to forsake it and turn away from it en masse, okay? Not just a few, but en masse. And then he says, and then that's the first sign, okay, that the coming of the Lord is at hand. The second is the man of sin is going to be revealed, that the son of perdition. in other parts, he calls him the son of lawlessness or the man of lawlessness. He doesn't abide by any law in the Bible. He doesn't keep the Ten Commandments. He doesn't honor anything like that. And he is the man of sin, okay? The man of sin right there in the scripture is the son of perdition, is the Apollya or Apollyon, okay? He's the son of perdition. He is a totally corrupted individual. And then he says in verse 4 that he will oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And then he goes on to explain many of these things again. He talks about the mystery of iniquity. He talks about the wicked one is going to be revealed, whom the Lord will, in verse 8, consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Then he says in verse 9, even him whose coming, now this is the part I want to emphasize, is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now that word there, power is dunamis. He's going to have power. He's going to do powerful things. Signs is the word semeion, which has to do with miraculous supernatural signs, okay, and wonders. And then he says lying wonders, which is false, like you were talking about, Daniel, false lying wonders. And that is omens, wonders in the heavens, omens, things of that nature. And then he says in verse 10 that he's going to do this thing which with great deception. That is the word apathy, which means full of delusion. He's going to be so full of manipulation and of truth and delusion and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not, listen to these people, they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Because of this, verse 11, God is going to send him a strong delusion. Again, a powerful, and the word there is energeia, a powerful, strong, effectual delusion, a plane, a deception. He's going to deceive the people, okay, so that they will believe a lie. They will believe a falsehood, something that he's saying it is, but it's not. So what could be more delusional, and what lie could be bigger than someone coming, like you said, Daniel, in the form of the star, like when Jesus was born, okay, in like fashion, and now coming and saying, listen, I am not coming as a child this time. I'm coming as a grown-up man. But I am the exalted being. I am the avatar, the great avatar. I am your Jesus Christ. I am he. Your fifth Buddha, I am he. The Iman Mahdi, the great Mahdi that you're awaiting, that is who I am. And he's, you know, Krishna. The Krishna that you Hindus worship, I am he. I am the great avatar. I am exalted avatar. I am coming with my elders. The 13 snakes that he's going to come with, he's going to come with a whole, you know, a whole repertoire of all kinds of deception, signs and lying wonders to establish the kingdom, his kingdom, here on the earth. And these people that are waiting for him, they know about it. They know about it. They've been talking about this new world order, the big eye, we know, in the triangle that is in the back of the dollar bill. I mean, all a novus ordo seclorum, a new world order, annuit coeptis, announcing the arrival of a new world order. All these things have been planned for a long, long time. And so this event may be what may be about to happen. And I know there's a lot of people that are saying that this star could be, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ coming, and I am not saying that it cannot be, but based on scripture and based on some of these things that I have read, I believe that this event has to happen first before that other event takes place. And I don't know how long it will be between the two. The Lord has not shown that to me. The scriptures, the Bible doesn't say how long it's going to be. But I believe it's going to be, it's not going to be a long time between one event and the other. I don't know. But all I'm saying is that this event may come first, where this entity is going to reveal himself, maybe coming in a craft, maybe coming in a, you know, like that movie V, that I think you saw that, Larry, and I know you saw that, Daniel, the movie and all those episodes. Maybe that is something that may be just getting ready to happen. I don't know.
Well,
what do you guys
think? One thing, Augusto, you know, I talked to you. I don't know if we've talked about it on a show, but I remembered as you were talking about my relationship with it was an email. You know, I could email chat back and forth with Kathleen Keating. And, you know, at one time she was a very prolific writer in end-time novels involving earth changes and cosmic events and, you know, spiritual, you know, everything. She was Catholic, I believe, but she incorporated all of that into her end-time novels. And interestingly, you know, the Maitreya actually literally now, according to her, literally paid her a visit. He arrived in a vehicle with military people, came to her door. She would not allow him in, and she became very sick after that. And I watched her ministry. She had a website, a ministry, you know, all over the world, I guess, you know, of sorts, and was a very good friend of Malachi Martin, who, you know, had an untimely death and had told her that he was pushed. In other words, he was attacked, and that's what killed him. And, you know, right after this visit from Maitreya, you know, and I really, literally, Augusto, you brought it up, I had forgot about Maitreya. You know, I'm not the smartest spark plug in the box every single day, you know, maybe 364 days a year, but not every day. But I had forgot about him. And when you brought that up, you know, he is literally deception personified. And that Benjamin Krim, you know, I used to listen to him like you did and pray when he was on with Art Bell on those early shows. And he would twist things and was very sly. And you're exactly right. And this deception, it really falls right in the middle of a Daniel Holdings novel, should I say. Huh, Daniel?
Well, maybe it's a new storyline, Larry. I'll have to give it. You know, the other thing, guys, is and I hate to give this guy any credit at all, but didn't Zachariah Sitchin say that, when he said that Planet X or Nibiru would come, and wasn't it him that said that these beings actually lived on that planet and that that's how they got to planet Earth? And, Augusta, you were talking earlier about the ships that appear to be hovering around that body as it's making its way toward us. I just find that all very, very interesting. What do you think?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think that this object that is coming, it looks like a craft. It, you know, if it is not a craft, then something is following it or right there with it, and it is camouflaged as Comet Ison, and it is a craft. There is a craft there. As a matter of fact, there are different objects coming along with it, which many have said they are crafts. Larry and I were talking in the first hour about this cylinder-looking objects. There are two of them that were spotted on a video released by the Chinese. A live cam and you know, a raw footage of it, and so this is a very strange object approaching, and I don't know. I know that from some of the things I have heard others share. For example, Larry, I also mentioned Stan Deo, that some of his sources have told him that there is a buzz, you know, in the government, in the high halls of government, that basically they are terrified of this thing because they know that the Anunnaki are approaching, and you know, there have been other also whistleblowers, you know, in different other sources that I have seen, and they don't talk much; they just give little bits and pieces of it, which is kind of exasperating sometimes, you know. They give you little bits and pieces you try to piece together and you know, come up with some kind of a semblance of a puzzle coming together, but it's so hard. People don't realize how hard it is to do this work and, you know, to be a watchman and to try to put all these pieces together. You have to come, like, through thousands and thousands of pieces of news and things and reports and separate the truth from the fake and that which is true and that which is not true and, you know, and then confirm it. I mean, this is so difficult. And sometimes, you know, the people out there, they help, you know, they help us. They do a lot of the work for us, you know, and confirming things. And so that is a blessing. And don't stop doing that, precious brothers and sisters in Christ, because that really helps us to be able to bring you, you know, more information and, you know, better news than confirmed, you know, confirmed sources. So, you know, these things are basically telling us that something is approaching, that, you know, the Vatican is telling us that, you know, this thing is coming. The Vatican built an observatory in Arizona, which they called the Lucifer telescope. Now, why would anybody in the world call a telescope Lucifer? I mean, that right there, it's a giveaway to me, anyways, of what they may be trying to track. Could it be that they're trying to track this planet, this object, where Lucifer maybe dwells in with all his sports and demons and lizards and what have you? Could that be why they called it Lucifer? Could that be why the governments of the earth are terrified at what this thing is doing and what is about to happen? Could that be why we're seeing a strange craft maybe coming right over the Dome of the Rock there in Jerusalem? That there were several videos that were taken of that. Could that be why all these things are taking place, you know, and whenever a peace treaty is signed, you know, there are UFOs in the background. When President Obama went to receive his Nobel Peace Prize, this kind of supernatural event or spirals took place. I mean, are these things basically watching us? Are they kind of waiting for the right moment for their appearance? There are now reports of a UFO that has hidden behind the moon. I mean, there's all kinds of wild reports coming out right now. They're in the woodworks. What is going on? Nobody really knows for sure. We're just trying to put together, you know, the pieces and make some sense out of it. But the truth of the matter is that the Bible is the final word on this. And the Bible tells us that the earth is going to be impacted with a lot of asteroids. The first five trumpets, blasts, have to do with asteroid impacts. That Revelation chapter 6, which says that the skies rolled up like a scroll, that is going to be provoked by an asteroid impact. And, I mean, on and on and on. The Bible talks about the beast rising out of the sea right after in chapter 13, right after chapter 12, when Satan and the great dragon and all his angels are hurled down to the earth, which is what I read about, that the vision that this brother had. And I don't want to get too much into, because that is his experience. But he said the Lord showed him how Satan was being cast down from the second heaven into the earth. Could that be? And he said he was hurling asteroids at the earth and missing a lot of the times. Could that be maybe what is going on right now? I don't know. It's very possible. But we definitely need to be prepared in the spirit for whatever it is that is going to happen. And this is why we're doing this program, precious people. You need to get ready. You need to get a hold of your Creator and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Yahushua HaMashiach, and you need to make right. You need to repent of all your sins. You need to get your sins washed away. You need to get any leaven out of the house. Remember, and I was thinking about this, Larry, today. Remember when darkness was about to fall on the earth, and the Lord told Moses to get his people inside the house and to anoint the doorpost and the dintel with blood. Remember, he told them to tell the people to get all the leaven out of the house.
Right.
Get all the leaven out of the house, which is a type of sin. I am telling the same thing today to his people. And I'm not saying that Moses by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just saying that I use that example to tell the people, get the leaven out of the house. Get your leaven out. Get sin out of your house. Because if the only way you're going to be protected is if you get the leaven out of the house and you get that blood applied to the doorposts and the dentals of your heart. Amen. Go ahead, Larry, and then Daniel, share on what do you think about that.
I think you're hitting pretty close. One thing I was going to bring up, too, was the fact that I recently did a radio show with Richard Shaw. And, of course, he's worked closely with Roger Lear, who has surgically removed a number of these so-called implants that they have found inside people. And, ironically, these implants appear to be shapeshifters. You know, when they try to take them out, they move and try to stay away. You know, really, the movie Taken is pretty close to how some of this actually works. But one of the things that struck me was Richard's really close with a lot of, I guess, the Hollywood people, and, you know, a lot of that is they're getting black project information and making movies from them. But Richard said that a lot of the leaders in the field of abductions are now telling him that they believe that the alien hybrid projects are pretty much finished, that the hybrid race or the abductions and the hybrids that are created from that, that they have finished the work. So, you know, even, and I'm not telling people, you know, I'm not tying that into the Bible other than Genesis 6, but if that is true, if the hybrid, alien hybrid work that's been going on for years, if that is about completed, then that, again, is one more sign, one more, I guess you could say, nail in Earth's coffin that something's about to change and it'll never go back to the same again. I mean, this change is permanent on the planet. I mean, we're going forward, but we're not going to get to go back.
Daniel?
You know, Augusta, when you were talking about putting things together, trying to weave this, all of these stories and all this information into some sort of understandable picture that we can give the people, you know, I was thinking about this, and when you look at all of the events, I mean, everything from the things that are going on in Puerto Rico, from the visions and dreams that you've had, from this alien issue, from the issue of the telescope and at the Mount of, I forget the name of it, but in Arizona there. By the way, what's interesting about that telescope is that the Lucifer device is it's an apparatus that they actually put on this telescope. Now, you'll find this interesting. That apparatus is designed to see, I just lost the word. Infrared. It's designed to see infrared. And it's actually an acronym. It's a long, long name, and Lucifer, or they took letters out of this long, long name, and they just called it Lucifer. Well, if you're the Catholic Church, why would you call anything Lucifer? It drives me crazy, but I digress. So as you stand back and you try to look at all of these things that are coming upon the earth, I can't help, well, I can't help. I'm just going to tell you this. You mentioned the show that I did with Steve Quayle last week. It was a powerful time, and Steve suggested that we do a six-hour show, and we're going to end up doing 2 3-hour shows. But one of the things that the Lord showed me in preparation for that show was that all of these things are connected to the tearing or the lifting of the veil between their dimension and our dimension. Now, audience, if you think I'm crazy, there are scientists that believe, astrophysicists that believe that UFOs are not intergalactic beings, but that they are interdimensional beings. And it would explain how they can break our physical laws. They turn corners at right angles that should not be possible. They do all kinds of crazy stuff. But they say that that's possible because they're interdimensional beings. Now, am I saying that there's not intergalactic, you know, aliens out there? But no, that's not what I'm saying at all. What I am saying is that there is a piercing of this veil that is going on, and I dare say that everything we see going on right now, guys, everything, is designed to bring their world here. And I think, Larry, you are absolutely right when you say that planet Earth is never going to be the same. See, they couldn't do this before. God didn't let them do this before, but this is the end of the age, Augusto, as you've said. This is the end of time. And God has let these things, or is letting these things happen to bring a closure to time. And what we are seeing, and I'm pretty sure this is the way it's working, everything is connected to that. Everything is connected to allowing these entities, these things, to come into our own interdimensional space and do what they're going to do. And that is why it is so important, audience, that we are walking supernaturally, that we are walking with filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, because I am telling you something. Things are about to happen on this earth that will blow your mind, make you go insane if you don't, number one, apply the Word of God to it, and number two, have the peace of God running through your veins, because what we are about to see, Augusto and Larry, is going to be so crazy that men's hearts will fail for fear, and that's biblical.
Well, absolutely. It's for reals. I mean, people think that when we share those kind of words, you know, big words, you know, they think that we are exaggerating. We are not exaggerating, folks. People, this is the truth. When this other realm, which they're bringing it, you know, the veil is ripping. It is ripping. Once Satan and all his demons are cast from that second heaven down to earth, just like it says in Revelation 12, that basically is the end of the world as we know it, okay? We are going to have these horrific entities right here on this planet. They're already here. They just haven't manifested yet. But when they get all the reinforcements that they're going to get from the dragon and all his angels being cast down, okay? Some of them are being cast down, but you see, what people don't understand is that some of them may be just angels, ethereal angels, okay, manifesting. But some of them are coming in craft, like UFOs. This is what people just don't understand. There's going to be a massive alien invasion. And again, this is, sounds like science fiction, but you know, all these movies that you've been seeing about science fiction, about an alien invasion, and this, you know, and all these movies and programs and series, this is really talking about the time of the end, people, and it is in the Bible. It's in the Bible. It's in the book of Enoch. It's in the Bible. Just read the Bible. You talk about the fifth angel. You know, when the star falls from heaven and the key is given to it that will open the bottomless pit, okay? This angel, I believe, is Satan himself. I believe this is going to be the star that they see, you know, just fall into the earth. And it's going to be hurled into the earth by Michael and his angels. And this is what's going to cause all these ungodly entities to be released. And I don't know if it's how this is going to happen. There are some theories out there, and I'm going to throw them out there and see if you guys can kick it around a little bit. But I have heard all kinds of crazy stuff. I have heard, for example, just some of the things I have heard. And this cannot be proven by the Bible, and I cannot prove it because the Lord hasn't shown it to me. So I'm just trying to tie together loose ends here to make some sense of this, okay? But some of these asteroids that are going to be falling on the earth, maybe they are being directed at certain areas, some portals, to open up certain portals, certain gateways that will allow certain of these entities to come into our realm, okay, through that veil. Portals, if you will, there's like a veil, it's like a portal. It's what allows entities from another dimension, okay, to come into our dimension, or entities from another galaxy, okay, way far out there, to be able to be transported right into ours through those portals. You know, those famous movies, Stargates, and then it became a series, you know, that is real. They have found Stargates. And we've talked about this, Larry, in previous shows. They have actually found Stargate. They found a Stargate over there in Iraq many years ago. That may have been one of the reasons why they went there in the first place. So these objects are real. They have been drawing in caves and petroglyphs depicting, portals, this kind of portals, Stargates, that were inscribed in rock. They were etched in rock, petroglyphs, and you can see entities standing right next to it, okay, strange-looking entities, and they were about to go in through the portal. So these things are real. These things have happened before, and these entities apparently use this kind of devices to, if you will, to beam into our place and to, you know, come into our dimension through this portal. So maybe, I'm not saying it is definitely, you know, something will happen, but maybe some of these asteroids will be directed by some of these underground bases or under the sea bases that these people, that these entities have to open up these portals, to be able to just smash these things. Like the Bible talks about, the bottomless pit, you know, contains many of these entities that are in chain. They're chained there. They were chained by the Creator. They were imprisoned by the Creator for a reason, because they were ruthless. They were lawless. They would not submit to the laws of the universe and to the decrees of the Creator. So they had to be bound. The Bible says that they're going to be released in the end times for the greatest tribulation of all time and the greatest battle ever. It's almost like the Lord is daring the devil and saying, "Give me your best shot. Take your best shot. And this is going to be your last shot, so you better make it good. Make it count." What do you think about that?
You know, Augusto, I've often thought this, Larry, that when Augusto says that God is saying, "Give me your best shot," because remember something, audience, God is righteous and he's just. In other words, judgment is fair. And so when you understand that at the end of that thousand-year reign of Jesus on earth, and then the devil is cast into the lake of fire, and we stand on the edge going, "That's who we were scared of? That's him?" That's what the Bible says. The Bible says the dragon's cast in the lake of fire, and the people stand back and they go, "We were scared of him?" God is doing just that, Augusto. He's saying, "Give me your best shot, and in the end, I'm going to show the people who you really are," and they will say, "You know, God, you gave them too much of a break. You gave them too much of you were too fair to him. He didn't deserve that." So I think you're absolutely right. So it's God saying, "Give me your best shot. Let's go." What do you think, Larry? It's time to rumble, isn't it?
I'll tell you what, we're entering a rumble time, and that's one of the three things that Augusto was talking about when he's preparing God's people. In other words, warning them, in this great warning that he's giving out is number one, you better be prepared spiritually, and then you better be prepared, if you're going to stay here and last any time at all, to natural preparation. But number three, you sure better be mentally prepared to implement whatever God tells you to do, because, Daniel, as you clearly said, we're in a time frame where people, because of what they see coming on the earth, will literally lose their minds. And that's hard to describe.
Absolutely. You know, we're talking about here these demons manifesting, okay? Just to give people an idea, okay? When these things begin to happen, people, you need to go into your house and lock yourself up. This is not going to be the time to go outside. These things will hunt you down. They will kill you. Stay hidden in Christ. You have to be in a house, just like the Lord told Moses. Tell the people to stay in their homes, okay? Remember what he told them. He says their feet have to be prepared. In other words, you have to have your shoes on, okay? You have to be eating the lamb. You have to have a lamb roasted, consume the lamb, each one for each family. In other words, we all have to eat the flesh and the blood and drink the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. This, there is no substitute for it. And then he said, apply the blood outside your house, on the doorpost and dental. And when the angel of death, and he called it the destroyer, when the destroyer passes by, he will see the blood and pass over you. That is why that night is referred to and is kept today, even today, as the Passover. It's one of the most important Hebrew festivals, okay, ever, the Passover. And the Passover had to do with the exodus of the people of God from Egypt when the destroyer passed over them and they were protected by the blood of the Lamb. The Lord told them, stay in your home, stay in your house, do not open the doors, do not open the windows until I tell you it's safe to come out. And sure enough, the firstborn of all the land of Egypt was smitten that night. You know, real quick before the time is over, because the time is up, I just want to share this real quick. I found this research that someone did, I think it was John DiNardo, in one of his reports. He mentioned an archaeological dig that found Ramses' grave and his son, the son of Ramses, which was, I think it was Ramses II, which was the pharaoh that was alive, you know, during the Exodus, the one that was in power. And according to what the archaeologists found, they found that the son of Ramses, his skull had been fractured. It had been smashed in by what appeared to be a rock fragment. And that is how he died. Mm-hmm. And John DiNardo was basically referring to the fact that during that night, what may have killed the firstborn in Egypt, in all of Egypt, was an asteroid shower. Now, when I heard that, it just blew me away. It was another piece of the puzzle that just came into place. And I'm telling you tonight, precious people of God, when these things happen, the asteroids start falling, the spaceships start appearing all over the place, and hell is breaking loose outside, you need to be hidden away with the Lord Jesus Christ, Yahushua HaMashiach. He's all we have. He's the only one we have. And he's our protection. And he is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He is the Lamb. You have to take him into your house. You have to take all the leaven out of your house. Make sure that you take all your sin out. Make sure you repent of all your sins. Make sure that you have no bitterness in your heart against anyone, no jealousy, no unforgiveness in your heart towards anyone. Forgive everyone that has hurt you, that has wronged you. Make sure that you have no little besetting sins in your heart. Repent before the Lord tonight and get all that leaven out. Get it out. And then once you have done that, sanctify your house. Apply the blood to the doorpost and the dental of your physical house and also the house, which is our body. The Apostle Paul says, our house, our tabernacle, which is our body. So our house has to be clean, has to be free from leaven, and the blood has to be applied to our house. What a wonderful show we had tonight, Larry and Daniel. It was such a wonderful time. I'm so glad you guys made it. Larry, would you give out your website information, and then Daniel, would you do that as well?
Yes, thank you. Augusto enjoyed it. LarryWTaylor.org. Just simply LarryWTaylor.org, and you can go read my blog, and that's plenty right there. That'll get you to me.
Daniel?
And my site is www.danielholdings.com, and there's a contact form there you can email me on. I post news there. Guys, thank you so much again for letting me participate. It was a powerful time.
Well, thank you, Daniel, and thank you, Larry. And, you know, Larry's got a lot of stuff on his website. You know, he puts out the blog, a lot of interesting things. So go there and check it out. And Daniel, he's got all kinds of interesting things in his website as well. So go there and check it out. And we'll do this again sometime. And love you people out there, and just keep your eyes on the Lord and keep your ear to the ground. Things are about to get really hectic in the next several months and next few years. God bless you. I enjoy. Thank you, Dorothy, for doing this for us. You are a blessing to the kingdom and to the people of God. God bless you. Bye-bye.
God bless you guys. Shalom.
Thank you, everybody, for coming. Good night, and Father bless. And we'll just play Show Me Your Glory on the way out.
I see the clouds.